Welcome back. This is the HUD Post podcast. My name is James De Los Santos, and today I am really excited about my next guest. He's a Hudson County native, just like me, first generation son of Cuban exile, and he's a product of our local public schools. He's built a career in law and public service, and when NJCU needed leadership at a crucial time, he stepped up and he's helped guide the university through some major changes. My guest, Andre Acebo, how are you?
Good, man. Thank you for having me, James.
Yeah. Thank you for being here, and really want to get to know about you. I know you're from Hudson County, so I think that's something that I really cherish are people who are from Hudson County and are able to do great things and stay here and not have to go somewhere else like New York City.
That's right.
Other places. That's right. So my first question I always like to ask is, tell me about your upbringing.
Yeah, man. So working class Cuban immigrant parents, literally born and raised in Hudson County. Literally the first time I think I left, it was for college. So my world is this place, right? And there's something beautiful about that, about like that I've brought a little bit of Hudson County everywhere I've gone. Sometimes to people's shock and dismay, right? But always unapologetically, proudly a product of it. Grew up in Union City, public school student, went to Union Hill. At some point, someone explained to me, and I've spoken to the superintendent there, is like, you got to explain to me how Hillers and Bulldogs became soaring Eagles, right?
weird transformation. You mix those two.
Yeah, even for me. I loved growing up. Like, there's kind of a rawness, kind of an independence of that. My family really prioritized education. My dad came to this country in the 60s. By way of Miami, from Cuba. I literally have the compass he used. He came on a raft to this country. This is the compass he used. And I have it on my desk, a nice little reminder, of where our family story begins and how it's directed. My mom is the youngest of three. She came on the Freedom flights from Cuba to Miami, separated from her older siblings, taken care of by her grandmother. Kind of a traditional story in the Cuban exile community, right? Of family separations and reunifications. So family was always at the heart of kind of my story, my experience. But, growing up in Hudson County, man, like you're bred differently, right? Like there's a hustle and an ambition that is a formidable force when they're together and they're guided with opportunity. And again, unabashedly proud of my roots.
For sure. So, I was going to ask about, what type of traditions that your family brought with them. And I'm guessing education was a big part of that.
Yeah, I think for me, a lot of it was like, my mom has a high school degree from Miami Coral Park High School, right? My dad has a grade school education. The Cuban Communist Revolution kind of upended a lot of my family's trajectory. And so education was seen in my household as this equalizing force. Like my mom would say, lo que aprendes, nadie te lo puede quitar. Like what you learn, no one can take from you. And that was kind of a motivating factor that was very sustaining. I think our faith tradition was also very important, whether it was like taking CDC classes with Azuquita at a St. Augustine's church, right? Mm-hmm. And it's funny, right? Because that's where like the Union City in me, Hudson County, when you call it St. Augustine and not St. Augustine, right? So sometimes I trip up on that too. But whether it's, getting the 10 churros for a dollar at La Churrería, right, on Bergen Line Avenue, or going to church at St. Augustine, or recreational activities in the summer in Union City, like our community was an extension of our home. I think even the juxtaposition of that with my own children and the life that they lead, right? Like being 7 years old and walking home from school by myself, right? Like now, like I joke with my wife, like if we dropped off our kids on a corner, they'd like break down, right? Like wondering how to get home.
It'd be a headline story.
Man. So like a lot of those traditions kind of fortified. I mean, summer vacations were, as you might imagine, is like you load up the car and drive down to Florida. Mm-hmm. Right.
You stop at the south of the border, right between
Pedro, South Carolina. Pedro, south of the border. But most, again, we didn't have a lot, but there was also like kind of this instilling in us that we had a lot of privileges and opportunities not to squander. And again, but at the heart of it, as you would expect, right, like education was really pronounced in my household. I became very civically involved even from a young age. I remember, student activities in high school, like class leadership roles. But it was always anchored around community. So I remember, here's kind of a nice little narrative. Even in high school, Mayor Senator Stack wrote me my recommendation letter for college. And then you fast forward, 25 years later, and I've had an opportunity to work with him and the delegation, right, to like strengthen this institution. Yeah. It's kind of like that full circle of public impact of like people that invested in me, gave me the, long before anyone knew who I was or could even imagine what my trajectory was, there was a lot of people that believed in me before I believed in myself. And that I was sustaining. And that led me to become the first in my family to be able to go to college. I went to Brown University in Providence, Rhode Island, a transformative experience.
Yeah, how would you say like that transition? So you're saying you grew up in Hudson County, now you go out to Rhode Island.
Yeah.
Was it a culture shock for you?
It was a culture shock with respect to like everyone in my community is working class, right? And mm-hmm. even my wife and I joke about this, even like coming from modest means, right? Like, we still had more than a lot of our peers had, right? Mm-hmm. And then you go off to this space that where your story isn't the predominant lived experience. Like I remember thinking to myself, damn, like I'm poor.
Right,
why didn't anyone tell me that? Right, like, so there was that was a culture shock there, but there was something also like being around these like brilliant minds, man. One of the wow factors of that experience. So, my senior year, I studied international relations and comparative literature, and for my senior thesis, you get a faculty assigned to you to help you on it, and my faculty mentor. Guide was Sergei Khrushchev, Nikita Khrushchev's son, right? And so here I am, like the son of Cuban exiles, like writing an honors thesis at Brown University that's being shepherded by the former Soviet premier, right? Like Nikita Khrushchev's son who put missiles in Cuba, right? Like it's just like the weird opportunities and doors that education opens for you. Mm-hmm. But there's something else that was, so yes, it was a culture shock, but that was kind of like my first real taste of like how privileged I am to have been born and raised in Hudson County, to be tied to this place. And it was my first opportunity to be an ambassador for this community, right? At a time where people talk about diversity, right? And esoteric terms and sometimes in disparaging ways. Mm-hmm. Like I get to see the real full promise of Hudson County and diversity at its best. And I was an ambassador for it, right? Like, the vast majority of my classmates didn't go to public schools at Brown, right? Like, mm-hmm. they were legacies there. And here I am charting my own path with a community back home, like rooting for my success. That creates, obviously, pressure, but also was a strong motivator. So that was an experience. And then from there, went to law school. I went straight from college to law school. I came back home. The goal was always I wanted to come back home. Rutgers Law School presented itself as the greatest opportunity. It was like my top choice. So like mm-hmm. you're fortunate when you get to go to your top choice. Rutgers has a rich history in social engagement. Like their kind of mantra was like they were the people's electric law school in the 60s, right? Really developing and churning out socially conscious lawyers. And then my private practice, I clerked for an appellate court judge after that. Was one of the greatest experiences. And this is funny about the connections, right? Like I clerked for the Honorable Jonathan Harris in the Court of Appeals in New Jersey, who was also a Brown University alum, right? So like that connection brought him home.
Unique connections.
Yeah. And then my private practice like kind of evolved, but I had one of the privileges was like people that I now get to call friends, like I got to like make my legal practice be something that was community anchored, right? Like I got to serve as labor counsel to the town of West New York, did things in Union City, right? And other towns and school districts like the Elizabeth Public Schools. So I was putting my legal education to work in the very communities that resembled like my lived upbringing and story, in a way that I think is a testament to the kind of the investment that our state makes in our communities. Not always perfectly, right? But that there's a, you know, there could be, you know, 1,000 other Andy Acebos, right? But for the grace of God and opportunities, you know, I've been.
There has to be a first, so there could be many.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
So I know, you know, me and you, we both look like we're in our 20s, you know, but we're getting up there. And what I want to know from your eyes, how have you seen Hudson County change from, you know, your upbringing in Union City till till now?
So I think like there was always this kind of embedded diversity and kind of global outlook. I think what I've seen manifest in Hudson County in particular is the scale, right? Like an ambitious rate of growth. Sometimes not bringing everyone that should be brought along, right? I think that there's often something to be said about progress that doesn't bring everyone along with it. But I think you have socially conscious leaders in our community that care deeply and accountable to its population. Hudson County and cities like Jersey City in particular, I think are on the precipice of being recognized not for just punching above its weight, but being global cities in their own right. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm most enthusiastic about that I've seen. And there's also this kind of, this might get me in trouble, so I'll try to be somewhat diplomatic, kind of a generational changing of the guard, right? Like that there's a cohort of folks that are coming up the ranks, mm-hmm. That care deeply about where they grew up. And I think for so much of like our upbringing, I think success was defined by how much distance you create from where you start. Mm-hmm. And you're starting to see this kind of generation taking shape and taking kind of, for lack of a better word, the reins that are like, I'm a proud product of this community and I'm not, and success to me is defined by how I succeed and remain rooted in my community, right? And I think that that's unique because in many circles and places that have been historically underinvested in, where progress, again, it doesn't feel like is holistic, success sometimes is defined by, again, leaving behind where you grew up, right? Like you'll find success somewhere else. And I think what's beautiful about Hudson County is that there's, if organized well, if resourced well, if collaboration takes precedence, there's all the, from the geography in our proximity to like the global markets that are like New York City and Manhattan, right? The eyes of the world literally being here is that we're not in the shadows of those, of that skyline, right? That there's really noble stories that take shape here. I mean, I think our greatest strength is, you know, even in this political season, when nearly half of the county's population is foreign born, right? That brings challenges, right? But it also brings dynamism. Like it brings that zeal. Like I tell everyone, like what motivates me? It's like, well, I grew, like, yes, I've been afforded wonderful educational opportunities, but the most powerful ones were the ones that were ingrained in me growing up in my own household, where it's like, I saw it firsthand, the hustle of like, you make something out of nothing, mm-hmm. right? Like when you're working to make ends meet, and like there's something almost poetic and beautiful about that, I think, James, right? About like there's that grit and that resilience and that persistence that defines a community. And if you can find a way at scale to harness that, like there's really no limit to what our communities can achieve, because it's great that it's its people. And too long, I think Hudson County has had a chip on its shoulder, right? Because of perhaps some of the political scandals that have plagued us over the decades. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, it's like our stories are incredibly powerful. I mean, we're perhaps even because of the density of our population, right? We literally live on top of one another.
Exactly.
But there's a dynamism that comes from that. Like, yes, sometimes it invites friction, but you've got this almost like alchemy experiment here, right? Of people who, again, sometimes through desperation of finding a shot at a better life. Again, think about it. Like, think of the folks, our own lived experiences, but that of our classmates and peers growing up, our neighbors. like you can't turn a corner without finding a story that didn't begin here. Mm-hmm. Right? Like that's powerful.
Yeah, I always say all roads lead to Hudson County. Right. My wife gets tired of it. She's not from New Jersey, but like, oh, that person, oh, Jersey City, oh,
there you go.
Oh, 7-0 Shake, oh, she's from North Bergen. I'm always finding ways to bring it back to my community. For you, you know, I want to talk about progress. So I want to talk about NJCU, the kind of battles that they had to go through. I think shortly after I left, I know that they were a huge debt problem. I know that enrollment was down.
Yeah.
And I know that when you came in, they were just handed you that on a plate and said, good luck.
36-year-old lawyer, here you go, right?
Yes.
I will say this. I get an outsized, I'm not trying to feign humility here, but I get an outsized amount of the credit. And then depending on the date of the week, also a disproportionate amount of the blame, right? Like it comes with the job. Mm-hmm. But I think what I'm particularly proud is like that this community rallied, right? There's this famous like Churchill quote, right? That, you know, and that I think applies to Jersey City, Hudson County, and certainly the NJCU campus. Like this place has a lion's heart. I was just given the privilege to be its roar at a particular season. And to me, it's like, it was personal, right? Like, and I say that to young people all the time. It leaves you raw and it leaves you vulnerable. And there have been moments where like you second guess yourself, right? Imposter syndrome is a very real thing, James, particularly when you're first generation and there's a, and then there's the age dynamic, right? That you represent and you're entering spaces and places.
It doesn't help that your face looks like it might be in college.
That's right. That's right. I will say that like, it's like, so I look at those things and it's like, like you're encouraged in professional settings to not take things personally. And that is sage advice for your own mental health. But I have found that a lot of the secret to our success has been that I've been incredibly emotionally invested in the outcome and the work. This is hasn't been about title or rank, right? This is about a place that means a lot to me. Like while I may not be an alum of NJCU, like my wife is, right? My friends attended the school. Every educator that I had in Union City came here, right? So quite literally, because this place exists, my story is possible, right? There's people that believed in me. The high school history teacher that paid my fee waiver, paid and got me a fee waiver to go to Brown University, is a Jersey City State alum, right? Like this place cultivated people that, in very concrete, direct ways, imprinted upon my lived experience. So I brought that with me unapologetically. Admittedly, sometimes got me in, you know, like not in the crosshairs. But like, it's been a labor of love, man. Like every day I get to crisscross a campus where my lived experience, my lived story is reflected right back at me. It's not uncommon. You know this as an alum, like the vast majority predominant experience on our students' profiles, like they're the first in their families to go to college. Mm-hmm. And so a lot's been said about my age, right? I'm the youngest to ever do it in the state, right? Like, I'm only the third Latino to ever lead a public university. I don't think enough has been said, right? Which I think is equally, I think, compelling and important to our community, is that how rare it is to be able to ascend as a product of your very own community, to be at the helm of an institution that serves it. I think that that's what I've tried to galvanize, right? Like, yes, there is financial challenges that have to be weathered, and there's still some, right? That's like, we're here on the precipice of our centennial, 100 years in the fall of 2027. Just yesterday, the governor signed a historic piece of legislation into law that advances that merger with Kane University. And when you think about it, like when in the fall of 1927, this place began as New Jersey Normal School right here in Hepburn Tout Hall, right? Became then New Jersey's Teachers College, then New Jersey State College, then NJCU in 1998. And now we're, you know, subject to all the regulatory approvals from accreditors, we're going to usher in a new era for centuries to come, generations to come, to continue having access to public higher education with greater resources, greater opportunities as Kane Jersey City. And that a son of this community, someone who is a direct beneficiary because this place exists, you know, it's been a labor of love. one that is emotionally taxing, right? You know, I've been asked that I could I have predicted this, and I say in my typical Hudson County fashion, you bet your ass I did, right? Like, because I believed in this community. I believed fundamentally that if we emulated the grit and resilience and resolve of the students and families that trust us to be the place that they launch the rest of their lives, there's nothing we can do. That doesn't, so that allows you, as my abuela would say, al mal tiempo buena cara, right? At you know, difficult times, you put on a brave face and you weather these seasons. You sign your name to difficult decisions and difficult choices that keep up the lights on for another generation. That was particularly important to me. I've said this to people that my ethos, my kind of means to my leadership journey is that I fundamentally believe that you can't serve what you don't love. And I love this mission. I love this community. I love this place so much so that I resolve to keep loving it even when it breaks my heart. Right.
And I understand that.
Yeah. And so you push through, you persist, you persevere. And I think that that's the secret. When people want to find out how we did, how did you take, because a lot of things, you know, challenged this environment long before the challenges made headlines. Mm-hmm. Right? People were actually paying attention. They would have seen this decades in the making, right? Like, none of it is, and a lot of it's, I think some of it's been overstated about the individuals, right? And, you know, I won't get into that, but like, of who used to be here and some of the decisions and whether they worked out or they didn't. Not enough people acknowledge that this is an environment that has been distressed and undervalued and underinvested in, both in talent and resources, for decades. Mm-hmm. Right? Like the experiences that you had in these classrooms, great dedicated professionals with limited resources.
For sure.
And so to me, like, I hope that what I personify in its most earnest form is that what loving community is able to compel you to do. That doesn't mean that everyone's going to like the decisions that I've had to make, right? Or the consequences of them. But I think hopefully that when history authors this chapter, it'll be said not so much about my age or my ethnicity, but about how I defined leadership and what it meant to have a product of a community rise up and say, I care about this place too much to just watch it wither.
Sure. Now, speaking about hard decisions, I know that maybe the merger could have been a hard decision for you. Mm-hmm. Just on a branding level, just NJCU, the name, you know, people get attached to names themselves. But tell me what that means for the university, for you, as your role, and mm-hmm. just the future of the institution itself.
Look, I'm like, to a fault, I'm very optimistic, right? Like, I'm a hopeful person, mm-hmm. Stubbornly so, admittedly, right? Like, my team tells me that I have this dogged determination to will things into existence, right? And I think that that's what leadership is supposed to do, right? Like, I roll up my sleeves, I'm in the trenches with my team. I think what we've chartered here, and you know, Kane University's president, Dr. Lamont Repelet, is the real deal. Like, he's a first generation college graduate himself. He's the former commissioner of education. He has this focus on, you know, anchor institutions. He's been an amazing friend and a partner on this journey. I think there's an alignment there in values and growth. You know, there's things that not everyone's going to love, right? That there's organizational restructurings that have to take place, right, to make this practical and reasonable. But what is being ushered in, I think, is unparalleled in the almost 100-year-old history of this campus. Like, more academic resources, more academic programming opportunities. You're going to get this, when it all is said and done with this merger, Kane University will become the state's second largest public university system. Right?
Second to Rutgers.
Yeah, right? And so to me, it's like, and when you feel like, you know, products of this community can anchor that down here and bring that to Hudson County, right? Bring a research to university to Hudson County. That is massive. And so to me, you know, titles change, roles change. I think the North Star for me has been when the dust settles, are we ushering in and building a bridge to a second century for this campus that not just honors its legacy, right, but celebrates a bold future by saying that, you know, the next Andy, the next James that crisscrosses this campus has been honored, right? Because we stand for a noble proposition here that our mission is indispensable, that the reasons you and my loved ones have chosen this place is often because of proximity, affordability, but, you know, you're anchored in Jersey City, the state's second largest city, a world-class city as far as I'm concerned, and a world-class city deserves a world-class public university. And that's, I believe, with my whole heart, is what's being delivered upon here.
That's great to hear. Now, I guess one of my last questions, I don't want to keep you here too long. I know you have some work to do.
Sure.
But I know you're on the transition team for Mayor James Solomon in education. And that's exciting to hear. So I want to know, you know, what that role, what that role entails, you know, what you'll be building on there and what you hope to get from, or what you both hope to get alignment from there.
Yeah. So here's the nice thing about centering our campus. So Mayor-elect Solomon is also no stranger to our campus. He was a lecturer here. His incoming chief of staff and deputy chief of staff are NJCU alums, Crystal and Laura. It's been a rewarding experience, right? It's an honor to be named to something like that. I've built already fellowship. You know, it's nice to unite with friends of many years in common pursuit. I think the mayor-elect has a very bold and exciting agenda on education and youth, beyond just the broader progressive agenda to make it, Jersey City more affordable. But there's an alignment to recognizing that there has to be an ecosystem of education with our K-12 partners, the county college, St. Peter's, don't sleep on them either, my dear friends over there, Dr. Huber Benitez, and the great things that St. Peter's is doing, what NJCU and in short, King University and King Jersey City specifically will be able to offer. There's a connecting the dots there. I think Mayor-elect Solomon and his team are going to be rolling out a very ambitious but achievable, importantly, right? Like, I think what is
different. Smart goals.
They are. Yeah. But I think too often you get on a transition team and you meet twice, right? And like, and some white paper is produced that collects dust on someone's shelf, right? Mm-hmm. This is operational. This is not just about the first 100 days. It's about the first term. And that's exciting. And so that's been incredibly rewarding, you know, to like, again, be in communion with people that want to shape a bold future that is as good as the mayor, like, says, a city that is as good as its people, right? And, you know, getting a front row to that has been a privilege. And, you know, not, you know, like, and it's one of those things where, like, life constantly reminds you, as you and I've talked offline, like, what a privilege this is, right? Like, here I am, the first generation son of immigrants who may have had this accidental path to a college presidency, but our lived experiences taking kind of a platform to tell our stories, because that matters a lot, right? We live in a world where credentials and pedigree opens doors. And what is refreshing here is to be in a place and in a time where the lives we've lived, no matter how many years have been counted, right, are impactful. Like, I tell everyone,